I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were racist.
He said you were racist.
He said he worked.
You are very racist.
He said he
and you're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, July 14th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors while we still have some road and a little warrior left in us. But not in the Marxist conflict sort of fashion. More, I would say, along the lines of Ephesians chapter 6, you know, standing fast or remaining steadfast and resolute. And you notice that the armor in Ephesians chapter 6 is frontal. And the Bible talks about how God will go before us and be our rear guard. So that's an interesting concept. In Isaiah 52, particularly, the operative verse is verse 12 in the King James. Starting in verse 10, perhaps. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. It's not one of those things. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward, or your rear guard, depending on your translation. So this, I would say, is not the political incarnation, the counterfeit of Israel. It's interesting, the map and the territory that's a very interesting discussion, and it seems to be something of increasing interest, both from a bad guy's standpoint, I would say, and from those trying to figure things out and kind of make sense of what in the heck is going on. You will find all kinds of interesting characters if you start to investigate yourself, if you haven't already. But I want to give you just a practical illustration of the concept. You know, you run into all kinds of interesting folks when you start talking about this. For example, Alan Watts, not our Alan Watt singular, but Watts plural, Alfred Kurebsky, Jorge Luis Borges, Lewis Carroll, Marshall McLuhan, Tissot, Robert Anton Wilson, RWA, you know, someone the Theosophists revere, Victor Stegner, all kinds of, and then, you know, of course, the CIA folks, Alan Dulles, and many others. And then you know, there's the simulacra and simulation discussion. So here is it, Gregory Bateson, and a number of other folks. You know, Jean Baudrillard's simulacra and simulation. Bertrand Russell, Ludwig Wittgenstein. And all kinds of strange phenomena. The Berman projection, reification fallacy. Symbolism is important. So, you know, Carl Jung, Plato's Allegory of the Cave, all kinds of interesting discussions. And so what am I talking about practically speaking? This is supposed to be Friday, by the way. We're supposed to keep it simple and light. It just doesn't seem like it always happens that way. By the way, the phone lines are open. The local call-in number is 512-248-8252. Of course, 512-248-8252. And the toll-free number, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. I think that we, you know, a certain generation back has been trained to call the toll-free number. But if you have free long distance, please use the local call-in number, because the toll-free number actually costs the network. So appreciate that. Phone lines are open. So here's a practical example of the map is not the territory. And the point here, speaking of folks like Alan Dulles in particular, and all of these folks, or many of these folks, the, you know, the Faustian types, basically, the Machiavellian types, they intentionally want you to, they want to give you a faulty map. Maybe we should play the clip from Tommy Boy where David Spade's in the gas station and the station attendant keeps telling him, get a new map. And in simple terms, he says, you know, you're here, blah, 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 here, you know. You need a new map. And David Spade says, you should have just told me that in the beginning. Anyway, I'm picking up your sarcasm. So, you know, he has the wrong map. He's trying to find a place. He has the wrong map. So, you know, administratively, I've talked about how law schools teach administrative law to the exclusion of much else, most else, almost everything else. Been that way since about the 40s. It's been shifting. because the administrative fourth branch is what runs things, what has consolidated and subsumed all other duly constituted branches unto itself. And again, I mean, the short primer on that is R.J. Prostrito's The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government. And he talks about the, you know, gives kind of the high points of this. There has been a transition. And he cites Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State. And as I've mentioned many times, Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, published back in 1994, almost 30 years ago now, in the Harvard Law Review, mentions, the first sentence is, the post-New Deal administrative state is unconstitutional, and its validation by the legal system amounts to nothing less than a bloodless constitutional revolution. That's one revolution. The Rees Committee report mentions a similar bloodless constitutional revolution, and education was changed in advance to endorse it. But along the way, again, you know, speaking of folks like Aldous Huxley, intriguers have spilled the beans a little bit from time to time. Huxley intimated, by means of ever more effective methods of mind manipulation, that democracies will change their nature. The quaint old forms, elections, parliaments, supreme courts, and all the rest will remain. The underlying substance will be a new kind of totalitarianism. All the traditional names, all the hallowed slogans will remain exactly what they were in the good old days. The map will not be changed, but it will not reflect the territory accurately. Democracy and freedom will be the theme of every broadcast and editorial. Meanwhile, the ruling oligarchy and its highly trained elite of soldiers, policemen, thought manufacturers, and mind manipulators will quietly run the show as they see fit. And so this is what has been happening. This is why, you know, it's difficult for people to try to make sense of what's going on using a faulty map to interpret the landscape. Is problematic, obviously, and will probably land us in a ditch. So this is kind of where we are. And so this is why I say it's, you know, this is a large and significant reason why I say that it is a wild and dystopic ride. We have the slogans, just like Aldous Huxley surmised. Today we have the same old slogans, but they are devoid of substance and meaning. The map is not the territory anymore. We've been driven off the rails, and now we're out in some uncharted territory as far as our historical American map is concerned. The Constitution is window dressing at this point for the administrative state, and it gives good cover. I mean, I've talked about the Second Amendment as a perfect example. You know, why are we hearing when the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed? Why can we read that? That's the map. And at the same time, we've been hearing for decades. You know, I mentioned Bill Clinton yesterday. It was Janet Reno, wasn't it? There are a number of quotes. Reno was one who said, I think, registration was a pretext to confiscation. And, you know, for that matter, speaking of biblical things like Ephesians 6, it's interesting to go back and learn some lessons biblically. People say that Jewish people have higher IQs, certain groups of Jewish people. Maybe it's just because they're reading things that the rest of us should be reading from a young age. And they get meta context and distinction in ways that, you know, the rest of us don't. But, you know, reading the biblical story, the account of the Philistines telling the Israelites, hey, you know what, if you guys need, give us all your pointy stuff, and here you can have some farming implements. If you need any of those sharpened, just let us know. They took all of the sharpening tools, the Philistines did, for obvious reasons. You know, if the Israelites are planning on making war against the Philistines, they'll know, because they want everything sharpened real quick. So, you know, that was what I thought of when I heard things like registration as a pretext to confiscation. So we've heard in America things like, you know, you don't need a semi-automatic rifle, or you don't need 30 rounds for hunting. Well, the Second Amendment doesn't say anything about hunting. It says nothing about personal defense, home defense, family defense, city defense. It has nothing to do with that. It's all about national security, if you will. The volunteers are supposed to be the front lines of homeland security. Every able-bodied man from 18 to 50. And if that's the case, then, you know, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. But along came the Dick Act and usurped and supplanted a well-regulated militia. That's okay. The National Guard will take care of that. It's all right. You don't have to worry about that. And that's part of continuity of government. Now we're just wrangling over semantics. Well, this is the militia. No, not the militia. Not the same thing. And so if we use an outdated map to try to make sense of the territory, we're going to have problems. And that's why there's so much conflict. I think, you know, speaking politically, it's interesting that when I think of what's going on with the, you know, the Biden family and all of the litigation that has plagued Donald Trump, I don't think it's, you know, for him, I think he's, you know, any press is good press for Donald Trump to a certain extent. But I think this is all managed theater. And what's interesting is that whether you're a Biden supporter or a Trump supporter, you think the other guy, if we're just going to reduce it to these two characters, the other guy is criminal. There's some criminality on his periphery, at least. If not, you know, he's not been involved directly. But what if both are right? What if they should share maps and just try to objectively evaluate, you know, do a topographical study, a little bit of research together, and see which areas have been mapped properly and which haven't? I think it would be very interesting if we could all compare maps. Similarly, it's, you know, the same kind of concept when I talk about the distinction between communism and Christianity. What's the difference? Communism is Christianity just without God, which is an oxymoron, obviously. It's ironic because there is no Christianity without God. But, you know, curiously, you look into these kinds of figures, the Karl Marxes and the Carl Jungs and so forth. They all have a bit of Christianity in their background, but then there is this rebellious thing that occurs, kind of satanic, if you will. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
President Biden did not get the privilege status that she was hoping for. Privilege status would have forced the House of Representatives to vote on the resolution. Instead, the impeachment was sent to committee. Technically, that means that the investigation has begun. But many bills and resolutions never come out of committee and effectively die. I don't understand why an investigation is needed. President Biden stood at a podium and told us that all of his constitutional advisors said the eviction moratorium during COVID was unconstitutional, but he was going to do it anyway. Like me, Biden is bound by an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And he openly admitted on camera that he was not going to do that. That alone should be enough to impeach any office holder at any level, regardless of party affiliation. If you own firearms, you need carry insurance. Get the most affordable carry insurance on the market, according to Pew Pew Tactical, and save 10% by using code WHITEHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Until next time, see this Pashem Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. So, are we being fed counterfeit maps? Who would counterfeit things? Why would someone want to counterfeit things? What would, you know, what would be the purpose of that? I think many of us are naive, thinking that everyone thinks the way we think, or, you know, we're all generally scrupulous, trying to do right by one another. There are moments where we have, you know, where we fail and fall down. But generally speaking, we all try to do right by one another. I think conscience convicts us when maybe we get a little carried away. We feel bad about it. And, you know, sometimes, hopefully most of the time or always, we apologize and seek forgiveness. Please forgive me. That's an interesting discussion, speaking of Bible stuff. Luke 17, I've heard it preached many times as a faith passage. Well, one time in particular that I remember, and I remember thinking while I was hearing, no, that doesn't sound, it's not a faith passage, Luke 17, when Jesus says, you know, if your brother sins against you or offends you seven times in a day and comes to you and says, please forgive me, forgive him. And the disciples say, Lord, increase our faith. Ugh, how are we supposed to do that? Are we supposed to exercise tough love? Like I said the other day, you know, isn't it time for an eye for an eye? No. And so he says, you know, if you basically had the smallest, the tiniest iota of faith, you would say to this tree, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and it would obey you. In other words, you're lacking in faith, and that's, I think, why it gets preached as a faith passage, but the context is missed. What does he say next? You know, which one of you has a servant, having a servant, you know, tells him to come in, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, tells him to come in and, hey, take care of yourself, it's all good. Nope, you tell him, feed me and, you know, take care of me. And then when that's done, when your chores are done, basically, then take care of yourself. And then he says, so you also ought to say we're unworthy servants. We have done only that which we ought to have done. So it's an obedience passage. And the point is your obedience will build your faith. So that's interesting. Increase our faith. Supposed to forgive one another. So hopefully we seek forgiveness. Anyway, conscience convicts us. I don't think most of us realize that not everyone thinks as we think. You know, there's that thing. Maybe we should play that, actually. Mel Gibson, I think it was back in 1998, that thing that's been floating around. Interview about how Hollywood works. And so that's a great example of people think differently. We don't all have the same map. So what is the actual territory? And, you know, when it comes to deception, or excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself, counterfeiting, who would want to counterfeit, who would want to counterfeit maps? Why would someone want to do that? I think a good clue comes to us from Nesta Webster and her book, World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, published back in 1921. And she wrote on page 183, it is difficult to write of these things calmly, for to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whither they are being led, bad map, doesn't reflect the territory, is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. Yet this is exactly what the exploiters of the Internationale did for the working men. The identity of these middle-class interlopers who assembled at the Second Congress of the Association at Lausanne in 1867 has thus been given by the author of The Secret History. Anyway, this is a rinse and repeat strategy. Are we in the break now, or are we skipping it? Oh, we're headed into break. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me.
Welcome back. Any time is a good time for an extended musical interlude, right? Anyway, just kidding. So, who is a master counterfeiter? Why would someone want to deceive people? Let me just skip to the chase a little bit. The devil is a master counterfeiter. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, let me hold off on this. And let's see this other thing first. The clip that I was talking about is titled 1.3 million views, published a month ago. Mel Gibson talks about some of his dark experiences with Hollywood in 1998. Mel Gibson exposes some of the dark minds of Hollywood in 1998. Frightening. That's the title of the clip. YouTube video. and conversely, it's interesting that YouTube features in the, you know, the feed on the, if you're on a desktop, the right hand, the other videos that you see. One of the videos that I see is the End Times Productions video. This interview ended his life, and it's Congressman Larry McDonald. And, you know, that Crossfire interview. Who was it that called in recently? We were talking about that. Anyway, so the point of mentioning that is, you know, here are examples of, you know, Mel Gibson reminds us all that not everyone thinks like us. And Larry McDonald was giving us a more objective lay of the landscape, I suppose. Lay of the land, a better map, you know, particularly in that Crossfire interview. So, I think I'm going to assume that most people are familiar with the interview. It was very interesting. Who was it that called in? I forget. Anyways, the Crossfire interview back in May of 1983, with Pat Buchanan and Tom Braden, and that was May of 1983, and by September, obviously, he was dead, shot down on Korea Airlines Flight 007. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, they discussed the John Birch Society. I think that's, speaking of the map is not the territory, we'd have to investigate a little further. Council on Foreign Relations, the CIA, the New World Order, all kinds of fun stuff. And, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that you really appreciate about Larry McDonald is his ability to maintain his composure as he's being whipsawed by Pat Buchanan and Tom Braden. He's unflappable. And, you know, of course, they're just going back and forth on him, trying to shake him up and make him sound like a kook. But he obviously was not. So, anyway, that's interesting. But I'm going to presume that we all, I don't know, maybe we should play it, actually, for posterity's sake. We'll see. We'll start with the Mel Gibson thing. You know, some people say he's talking about the church. That's, I think, a different video, not this one. Definitely not this one, if you listen. So, and this is unvetted. I don't know what this is from. Who knows? Maybe it's a deep fake. I don't think so. Haven't vetted it. But my presumption is that this is Mel Gibson talking about Hollywood. Mel Gibson back in 1998 talking about Tinseltown. Can we play that, please?
You know, I had a whole bunch of weird paranoid suspicions about what the hell was going on because there was a lot of stuff I couldn't understand.
Right.
And nobody was really bothering to explain it to me.
They don't.
And I formed a bunch of opinions about the town and about the people in it that were like, surely that couldn't be, because the whole place can't be like, you know, weird town, you know, where the stranger wanders in and all the people are in the bar and they all shut up when he looks at him, and
mm-hmm.
and they tell you don't go to the house on the hill, and it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go away and you think, no, I was wrong. I mean, that's insane thinking. I'm paranoid. I imagined that stuff. That couldn't be the reason for why so-and-so was acting like, could it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out later on the track that you are exactly on track
mm-hmm.
with a lot of this stuff. Not specifically on track, but that you could, that some of your worst nightmares were real at the time. And you think,
mm-hmm.
No, he came to see me on a rooftop in New York. I said, hey, can I talk to you? And he said, sure. And he floated in
mm-hmm.
sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Through a crowd of people. He was wearing black, and it was like one of those old vampire movies where they don't walk but they glide.
Mm.
And he was a dancer, you know, so he has he's very you know, graceful.
Yeah.
And he moved sideways and he just sat down in a chair next to me, and it kind of frightened me.
Mm.
And he's a very smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking, and I didn't, you know, say much of anything about reading the script, nothing. I just started talking about the Middle Ages and
mm.
And he began to talk tortures. And we swapped tortures because I'd read this book on torture.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to recall some of the most heinous things I'd ever read in this book. And he was like, oh, and he'd try and top it. And it got, and my assistant was there, and he left because he couldn't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
The air had turned cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left, and I wanted to leave. And because I knew that I didn't want to work with him.
Yeah.
And he was getting scary.
Yeah.
And there's a producer I know, successful producer. I will not mention names, but his whole opinion about women on film from beginning to end is very brief. He says, women on film, either naked or dead. Both is better.
Mm.
And it's like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
ooh. The man has got a spiritual malady for a start. Mm-hmm. I mean, the scary thing is that I think a lot of people think that.
Mm.
So there's that. You know, I wonder if we should squeeze in the Crossfire thing. Try to squeeze that in. So that's Mel Gibson, you know, again, unvetted, but trying to give us an indication of the actual territory, a better map. And as I said, you know, it was Steven back in April. We talked about Larry McDonald a little bit. And so May 1983... gone by September 1983. And so let's squeeze in a little bit of that too. Larry McDonald trying to give us a better map. Can we do that, please?
Joiner that I've ever seen in the world. You belong, as I counted them, to 67 organizations, among which are the National Rifle Association, the American Pistol and Revolver Association, the Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, the Second Amendment Foundation, and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms.
Well, Tom, I think there's a real drive in this country to try to destroy the realization of our citizens that they have a fundamental constitutional right to keep and bear arms as the Constitution allows. And unfortunately, there are those in our society, including elements of the PTA nationally, not always locally by any stretch, but nationally, who would believe that the federal government should restrict the right of citizens to keep and bear arms.
Can I get back to that?
What kind of grades do you give Ronald Reagan as president, and what kind of grades does the John Birch Society give him?
Well, I would say in his speeches, Pat, you'd have to give him close to an A, B plus to an A, but in his performance,
What's most disappointing?
Well, I think the fact that the rhetoric is going one way and the record is going another.
Let me ask you about this conspiracy again.
Well, you can take the issue of one of the major problems of this country is inflation,
right,
and the problems of the destruction of the dollar. And the fact of the matter is, in spite of promises of the contrary, Reagan has not moved to correct the deficiencies. We're now back to Keynesian economics despite comments to the contrary.
Do you think that's a result of the conspiracy you mentioned? Is there somebody working on him to get the inflation so that this country will be weakened?
Well, as a man who campaigned against elitism, as a man who in his campaign rhetoric said that he would not be having the Council on Foreign Relations, trilateral types dominating his cabinet, he's got about 250 members of such in his administration.
Well, let me ask you about Bill Casey. Now, I've known Bill.
250 members.
I've known Bill Casey, the director of CIA, since World War II. As a matter of fact, in World War II, he was my boss. Now, you're a public relations director of the John Birch Society, says that Bill Casey is a part of this conspiracy
government. Before he became CIA, one of his big jobs was aiding in the transfer of technology and goods and so forth to the Soviet Union, helping the Camera River Project, the Export-Import Bank, helping to finance
these things. Is the Export-Import Bank part of the conspiracy?
I think the fact that the American people have been tapped steadily, especially since World War II, to finance their enemies and to have the massive technology transfer to those who
were doing it.
You know that from the Braden Doctrine in the agency, which you're very familiar with, and the feeling that we must somehow subsidize the, quote, non-communist left. That's among our so-called allies.
Braden was
and in country after country, that turned out to be the communists, mm-hmm, the crypto-communists masquerading
as
the non-communists.
Yeah, that's Mr. Mitterrand, who has taken the strongest position against the Russians of any Western European.
Well, he was about to lose everything at the polls, and he had to show some sign. It's very difficult to say exactly how far that will
Congressman be. Congressman McDonnell, he's been using the term conspiracy.
No, I didn't use it. Heaven's sakes, Pat. The John Birch Society used it.
I don't want to go through the tapes.
Well, it is. Don't blame it on me. He used it.
You've used it 45 times.
That's right. They say this is a conspiracy. Right. I want to know what the conspiracy is.
Now,
I'm trying to find out who's in it and what agencies of government in it, because I want to fight it along with you.
You look
and
like...
Great, Tom. Let me tell you, Tom.
You tell me, how can I join the John Birch Society?
Well, gosh, Tom, you got no problem at all. All you need to do is write a letter to the John Birch Society, Belmont, Massachusetts, 02178, and tell them that you would like to purchase for $2 a copy of the Blue Book. Tom, you read it, and I think if you're a dedicated American, you will agree with every word. Then you get in touch with me, and we may even sign you up.
Yeah, but it says here in one of your publications, not just anyone can be a Bircher. Now, how can I be a Bircher?
Anyone. Now, if you don't believe in the Constitution and limited government and free enterprise and biblical values of morality,
I believe in all those, but
I don't believe
there's a conspiracy.
He'd make a lousy candidate.
Well, Tom, as a matter of fact,
a member of the conspiracy, he's a member of the press.
Let me ask you. Mr. Braden's used for the 47th time the term conspiracy. Now, let me ask you seriously. When you use people like Casey, who is on the Council on Foreign Relations, David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, what do you mean? Or do you mean, is that your term, the term conspiracy?
Well, there are many different levels of the problem. But yes, the term has been used, the term of conspiracy, when you have a group of people.
They're actively collaborating, and at the other end of that point of collaboration are communists, and on this end of the point of collaboration is Bill Casey and trilateralists and
Al Haig.
You have people who are part of the elitist structure of this country that have dominated this country openly for 40 years.
I know, but they're not, is that a conspiracy?
Now, wait a minute. If people quietly working together for evil objectives, two or more, that by definition is a conspiracy. You have, by their own admission, you look at The Tragedy and Hope by Professor Carol Quigley, who's a member of this elitist group. He says, sure, we've been working this. Sure, we've been collaborating with communism. Yes, we're working for a global accommodation. Yes, we're working for world government. The only thing I object to is that we have kept it a secret. And I think we have gone so far along, we should come out and say,
I'll bet you a dollar and a half that Bill Casey doesn't know who Professor Quigley is. I don't.
He's at Georgetown a number of years ago.
He died a couple of years ago, and he wrote The Tragedy and Hope. He's a very noted member of your club, Tom.
Tom, you've got to broaden your reading a little bit.
That's right.
What I ought to do is read more about conspiracies, and that's why I'm interested in what
Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do is go back and look at your founder, Edward Mandel House, because he wrote the book Philip Drew Administrator. And in this, Colonel House said that what he envisioned for the world was a world government along socialist lines as envisioned by Karl Marx. Now, that's your leader. Now, Tom, so you got to go back to the beginning.
Well, his leader was Woodrow Wilson. Do you think he was a communist?
No, I think Woodrow Wilson was his follower. I think Edward Mandel House dominated Wilson, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. And so Edward Mandel House, that was, we ought to make that clear, he was President Wilson's
alter ego. That's correct.
Yeah. So he is the real villain from which all these conspiracies...
No. He is a major figure, Tom, but there has been, unfortunately, in the West, an element. There are good members in the Council on Foreign Relations, dedicated patriotic people. You've had Sproul Brayton, who was a member of the Council of the Birch Society.
Bill Buckley's
and Council on Foreign Relations. You've got some dedicated people, but the driving forces have very clearly been willing to collaborate, subsidize, work for technology transfer for what they feel is some type of an accommodation and merger. And I submit this would be a disaster for the American Republic.
Are there any Congress?
Sure.
Our guest is Ben, Congressman Larry McDonald of the John Birch Society. He's the new chairman. He's succeeded Robert Welsh, who has stepped down, as I understand it. Is that correct?
He's been sort of promoted to chairman
emeritus. Promoted to chairman emeritus and founder. And Tom Braden and I will be back with final comments in a moment.
That was a very charged. Well, actually, we should probably let it continue. Let's hear Pat Robertson's goofy nonsense at the end there. Can we do that, please?
Pat, I just want to tell you, I think some of the people who served in the Nixon White House are good, clean, upstanding, patriotic Americans, and some of them, on the other hand, are suspect. And I'm just going to have Larry McDonald, the head of the Birch Society, take a look at some of those people, and I wonder if he might find you.
Tom, where I disagree...
There's something going on here.
I disagree with Congressman McDonald is the idea of conspiracy with you and your friends. I think it's more of a herding instinct. The direction you've been moving in, inertia, carries you further and further. But I do think this, that slogan, get the U.S. out of the U.N. and the U.N. out of the U.S. looks better and better every day, doesn't it? Maybe they were ahead of their time on that one.
No, Pat, I think we got to have communications with the world, and the U.N. makes me mad, too, but I don't think it's a part of the great conspiracy which extends from Bill Casey and Al Haig all the way to communism.
Well, I think that Larry McDonald's a patriot. I think he's wrong about the conspiracy, but he's probably less wrong about what he says about this country than the guy I'm talking to.
Yeah, I think...
So... this, you know, if we sort of characterize this scene, I would say it's, you know, the cliche of two wolves.
Chair now recognized himself for an opening statement 8 days ago.
I don't know what.
Eight days
that?
Ago on July 4th in the Western District of Louisiana.
What was that? Oh, okay. So if we could characterize this scene, it's the cliche of the two wolves and one sheep arguing over what's for dinner. That's how I would characterize it. Not just the goofy stuff that Pat Buchanan said, but also Tom Braden, obviously. And the effort, the unmitigated effort of Tom Braden to try to cast Larry McDonald as a kooky, wacky, you know, tinfoil hat, you know, How did James Corbett put it? 9/11, a conspiracy theory. We should play that. If you have any questions about this story, in this case, you know, if you believe anything Larry McDonald is saying, you are a bat, you know what, paranoid, tinfoil, dog abusing baby hater. will be reviled by everyone. Not because of facts, but because of, you know, like Pat Buchanan said, herd instinct. Because of the Ash conformity experiment and the bandwagon fallacy. And Plato reminded us of that in the Allegory of the Cave, speaking of the map is not the territory, the map-territory relation. The map is not the territory, and sometimes there are characters who will try to feed you an intentionally erroneous map. Now, why would someone want to do that? That would be a very sinister thing to do, to intentionally feed someone a bad map. But that's what Nesta Webster wrote 100 years ago. It's difficult to write of these things calmly, for to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led. They just thought, you know, we're all just trying to get ahead, right? We're all trying to help each other out. They didn't realize their group had been infiltrated and they were being weaponized against themselves and one another. To deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. And as she notes, there are folks who did that intentionally and unapologetically. Very, very intentionally. Very, very skillfully. Why would you do that? Hail Hydra. You know? We're trying to bring chaos to the world because only through chaos can we bring about utopia. Really? What kind of person says stuff like that, you know? The arsonist is going to burn the city down because it's the only way to create a new, better city. Really? I would say anyone who believes that kind of nonsense is categorically insane. So, maybe we shouldn't listen to people like that. Maybe we shouldn't follow people like that. Maybe we should check in and compare notes. And so anyway, I want to get back to these questions, probably do it in the second hour. And there's lots of other stuff that I've mentioned recently that goes along with this. You know, again, as it's been characterized, the life cycles of empire or civilizations or the fate of empires, the Teitler cycle, also known as the fatal sequence, similar to, you know, a good working example of that is in the book of Judges. It's really kind of the book of Judges itself. But, you know, who is a master counterfeiter? And I think of that with, you know, speaking of the Bible, I was asked recently about the translation issue again. I mean, that's been a thing. Obviously, we've had that discussion, and I think if you're interested in the subject, you know, speaking of counterfeiting, yeah, that's probably a thing for. We headed into a break. I don't hear the music. Yeah, stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.